Brothers and sisters, it's just so wonderful to be joining you here tonight as we approach Ramadan. SubhanAllah, Ramadan is an ancient spiritual practice. And when we pray, when we fast during the month of Ramadan, we're not only joining ourselves through the generations of Muslims who came before us doing this year after year after year, but we're also joining people throughout humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this fast was ordained for those before us, so that we, as well as Muslims, so that we might be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one thing that I'd like to point out, and for us to really think about how this fast shows to us and demonstrates to us the value of prophetic religion versus trying to find our own spiritual path, as many people wish to do these days. So many of us, when Ramadan ends and we've felt the spiritual uplift from fasting and reading Quran and all of the good deeds, we make a commitment and say, I'm going to try to, you know, do more voluntary fast during the year, or I'm going to try to keep up some of these good habits. And inshallah we do, and we grow a little bit every day. But you know, and I know, I think that for most of us, we're weak human beings, we're forgetful human beings, and we find it very difficult to keep up with all of those commitments. And every year when Ramadan comes, you know, one of the things that we'll hear again and again people say is, I really needed Ramadan. Ramadan came just in time. And that, subhanAllah, really is the proof of the value of prophetic religion. Because we could at any time decide we're going to fast or to recommit ourselves to doing more charity, to be reading more Quran. But it is not the same thing. And so we all need that. And I want this month and the experience of spiritual uplift that we feel this month to also give us a firmer conviction in our religion. The fact that this prophetic religion, that this path that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he showed us through the guidance and the direction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this is the right way. Now, the next thing I want to say, and this may seem a little strange given that I'm going, you know, I'm the first teacher tonight, but I want to focus in the little time that I have, because we all just have a few minutes here, on the people who, in fact, cannot fast during Ramadan. Because one of the things I've heard from many people who I've spoken to the last few days, I keep running into people who, because of, you know, health reasons or other reasons, pregnancy, nursing, you know, many situations cannot fast, or either the whole month or cannot fast for some time. And so I want us to remember that Ramadan is a blessed, sacred month. It's a special time. It is a time that is established by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be a special, sacred month. And there's much more that many more blessings that we can experience, inshallah, if we're aware of them, even if we can't fast. This is the month when the gates of heaven are open and the devils are chained up. And so anything we do, inshallah, has more barakah if we're aware of that and make our intentions sincere to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a month when we can increase, and everyone can pray. Even if you can't make salat, you can at least make dua. So increase in prayer and reading Quran. And this is an opportunity for us to have all of our sins forgiven. Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever observes Saum, whoever observes fasting in the month of Ramadan with sincere faith and hoping for a reward from Allah, then all his past sins will be forgiven. And whoever stood for Salat in the night of Laylatul Qadr with sincere faith and hoping for a reward from Allah, then all his past sins will be forgiven. So praying even for those, and I know many elderly people now who can't, please reassure your family, your parents, and others that there are many opportunities for them. One of the things that we do as human beings very often is not take advantage of the opportunity in front of us, but mourn for something gone in the past. But what we believe as Muslims, our belief in Qadr itself, when we talk about Laylatul Qadr, we should think about what Qadr is. And Qadr is whatever is in front of us. And that everything that's put in our way, even if we experience it as an obstacle, is an opportunity to do some good. This is a month when the benefits of charity are multiplied. It is a month when every single one of us can fast from harsh speech and fighting and arguing. Every one of us can do that. This is a month when we give in charity, and for those who can't fast, it is a month to feed others. And I'd like to recommend that people consider that if you can go to a place and participate in a feeding program rather than, or in addition to giving money, it's better. Because then if you go and actually feed people and are involved in that, you will have an embodied experience in the way that a person fasting is having an embodied experience. Very often people with a lot of sincerity, you know, write a check or put, you know, send some money in their credit card, and that's good. But if you can actually be involved, put yourself in a place of feeding, this, of course, is the way that, you know, certainly during the time of the Prophet Muhammad, most of the people would have fed others. It wouldn't have been just by putting a check in the mail. It's also a time when we should not only think about our own spiritual upliftment, but try to help others. You know, if the days we can't fast, we can support others who are fasting by maybe cooking food that day or helping them watch their kids. But also, it should be a time when we look for those who don't have those supports. We need to expand our circle. There are many people who are lonely, who are independent, you know, converts, divorced people, single people. Expand your circle, because there are so many who would love to experience that blessing of breaking the fast together and praying together. Finally, I just want to say in my last minute that, of course, we live in different hemispheres. So for those of you in the Southern Hemisphere, this is a time of short days. And the benefit of the short days of Ramadan, when Ramadan has short days, is that there's more time for night prayer, more time for reading Quran, more time for inviting guests, for iftar and praying in congregation. Well, for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, when the days are long, there are other opportunities. We experience the rigor of a long fast. And it's a mistake to try to do everything the same every year. So many people say, well, I regret I can't go and pray in the masjid, Taraweeh, every night because I really like to do that, but it's too late. I have to go to work or my family's at home. Rather than looking at that as a negative, look at it as a positive. Praying at home with your family instead of going to the masjid is a beautiful opportunity to bring your family together. The Prophet Muhammad he prayed his Taraweeh prayers in his home in the last years of his life. So it is not lesser than, it is not something that is worse than praying in congregation. It is another opportunity to experience the blessings of lifting up that light of prayer in the home and binding your family together and learning also to be more confident and fluent in reading the Quran with your family. So with that, just these are my few humble suggestions, and I hope they're of some benefit. We change each year, the time changes. The most important thing is to take a little time to take account of ourselves. Who are you since last Ramadan? Since Ramadan 5 years ago, 10 years ago, of course, we have to take into account our different obligations. You know, when you have many little children, it's different than when you were a single student. But there are also different opportunities. Look for those opportunities. because every year there is a chance for you to grow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and bless this month and bring our community closer to the most merciful, our Creator, through this time. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. I hope you can hear me and see me. Can you all hear me? Just let me know in the chat group if you can, in the chat room if you can hear me.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. So, just wanted to thank Dr. Ingrid Mattson, and as we hear from our teachers tonight, please note down any questions that you have, because we will have some time at the end where you can address our scholars and teachers today with some questions related to their talks or related to Ramadan in general, or the theme of Ramadan resolutions. And alhamdulillah, one thing I wanted to mention that I didn't get to mention before is that Celebrate Mercy's webinars are something that we've done for a few years now. This is probably the 9th webinar that we've done over the past 7 years. In terms of like how we try to teach about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we do those in 4 ways. One of them are through webcasts, also known as webinars, like this one tonight. And alhamdulillah, it looks like the group of participants has really grown even over the past few minutes. We've had some more people join us, and more people are still joining as well. So I would like to now go ahead and introduce our next speaker, and that is Imam Zaid Shakir. As you know, he is the co-founder of Zaytuna College, one of our greatest scholars we have in the West, and we're very honored to have him join us today to give us advice in terms of Ramadan and making our resolutions for the month of Ramadan. So Imam Zaid, we will now unmute your microphone and turn on your webcam, and we will have you join us now, inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salat wa salamu ala Sayyidin Mursaleen, Sayyidina Muhammad, وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, it's great to be participating in this webinar. May Allah Ta'ala give everyone tawfiq. For my contribution, I would like to just remind myself and all of the brothers and sisters who are listening of a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he mentioned many of the virtues of Ramadan, and then 2 versions of that hadith, and then to mention 2 very powerful lessons that I think will really inspire us, inshallah ta'ala. So the hadith is the following. An Abi Hurairata radiallahu an, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kul amal ibn adama lahu al-hasanatu bi'ashur yamthaliha ila sab'i mi'adif, wa qala Allah azza wa jal, إِلَّا الصِّيَامَ فَإِنْهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ تَرَكَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ وَشَهْوَتَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي لِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَانِ فَرْحَةٌ عِنْدَ فِطْرِهِ وَفَرْحَةٌ عِنْدَ لِقَاءِ رَبِّهِ وَلَا خَلُوفُ فَمِ الصَّائِمِ أَطْيَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمِسْكِ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. So this hadith, which is related by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah, may the blessings and peace of Allah be upon him, said, every action that the human being does, its reward is for him. and rewards are good deeds are multiplied 10 times over, up to 700 times over. And the other narrations, al-adath and kathira, many times over and beyond that. And Allah, the mighty and majestic, says, except fasting that is mine, I will reward the servant with that. He has left, or she, whatever the case may be, he has left his food and drink and his carnal lust for my sake. The fasting person will have two delights, the delight when he or she breaks their fast and the delight when he meets his Lord. And the foul odor that sometimes emanates from the mouth of the fasting person is sweeter with Allah than the fragrance of musk, as we mentioned, related by Imam Bukhari and Muslim. So the point we would like to make here is the exemption, what's being exempted. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions, kul amal ibn adama lahu, all the actions that the human being does, that reward accrues to them. Al-hasanatu bi'ashri amthaliha ala sab'i mi'adif, and then those actions in terms of their reward are multiplied 10 times over. They're multiplied 700 times over. And then Allah says, may he be mighty and majestic, except fasting, that is mine, I will reward him with that. So fasting is exempted from the deeds that are multiplied. In other words, unlike all of our other devotional actions, fasting has no numerical limits in terms of its reward. الحسنات بعشر أمثالها إلى سبع مئة ضعف وقال الله عز وجل إلا الصيام فإنه لي. Except fasting, that is not multiplied 10 times over. It's not multiplied 700 times over. It has no numerical limits. And the ulama say because fasting is a manifestation of patience. It's a long, we have to fast long days. We have to be patient. It's not over in 5 minutes like the salah. It's not over in a few days, but actually like the hajj, but the actual rituals of the hajj, they're over in several hours, spread out over those few days. But fasting is all day for 30 or 29 days. So it takes a lot of patience to get through it. And the reward, what is the reward for patience? Allah Ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. The fasting people will be giving, the patient ones rather, الصَّابِرُونَ will be given their reward with no numerical limits. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. And in that fasting, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions in some other hadith, Ramadan شهر الصبر. Ramadan is the month of patience. As-sawm huwa sabr. Fasting is patience. Many of the exegetes of the Quran and commenting on the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah, seek the help of Allah literally with patience and prayer. They interpret that a bis-siyami was-salah. That is to say with fasting and prayer. So in that fasting is a manifestation of patience. Its reward, like the reward for patience, has no numerical limits. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. This is the first point. The second, there's another version of the hadith mentioned by Imam al-Bukhari, also related by Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. كُلُّ عَمْلِ ابْنِ آدَمَ لَهُ كَفَّارَةٌ. So in that version, every action that the child of Adam undertakes is a source of expiation for him. Lahu kaffaratun. It is a source of atonement for the sins and transgressions. Allah says, except fasting that is mine, I will reward the servant with that. And here the exemption is from those deeds that are a source of expiation. So our prayer, our awrad, adhkar, recitation of Quran, commanding the good, forbidding the wrong, our zakat, our hajj, all of those actions are for us. Adam Allahu kafaratun, and they're a source of atonement or expiation. Illa soma, except fasting. In other words, fasting is not a source of expiation. So Imam Sufyan bin Uyayna, one of the great early scholars of this ummah, from the generation of the righteous forebears, the Salaf al-Salih, he mentions that on the Day of Judgment, when a process referred to as Raddul Mazalim, so compensating those we've wronged, takes place, and people will take from a person's good deed, as one hadith mentioned, فَيَأْخُذُوا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِي يَأْخُذُوا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِي. He will take from his or her good deeds, take from his or her good deeds, until all their good deeds are exhausted. And some people, they've done so much wrong, unfortunately, that all of their good deeds will be exhausted. At that point, Sufyan bin Uyayna, he mentions that Allah will return to the fasting person the reward of their fast, because that was not a source of expiation for the person's action, because that reward was not for the person, it was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Illa siyama, illa sawma, fa'innahu li, fasting is mine, Allah says. So no one could take that reward. And the Imam, Al-Imam Sufyan bin Uyayna, he says, for many people, after all of their good deeds, the reward of their good deeds have been exhausted, the reward of their fasting will be returned to them, and they'll enter paradise based on the fasting, the reward of the fasting alone, because that's all they had. But that's a lot. Why? Because الحسنات بعشر أمثالها إلى سبعمية ضعف إلى أضعاف كثيرة إلا الصيام فإنه لي. Fasting has an unlimited reward. So that great reward of the fast cannot be touched by anyone, because it's Allah's, it's not ours. And for those whose good deeds have been exhausted, when all of those they've wronged have taken their good deeds, they will be given the reward of their fast, which no one could touch, and they'll enter paradise on the reward of their fasting alone. So brothers and sisters, this should remind us of just how great this opportunity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us with Ramadan. And we should avail ourselves and take full advantage of it, and to try to observe all of its sunan, to engage the suhoor, the pre-dawn meal, don't sleep right up until the sun's about to come up, pray Fajr and then fast. Take the pre-dawn meal. Try to control your tongue, as Dr. Mattson mentioned, and can be very cautious in your speech. Try to fill your days with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially with the Quran, which is the most excellent form of dhikr. Try to fill your days with Quran. When you're not working or you're not attending to some business, fill those free times with Quran. Don't be like the person that is mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ni'matani maghbunun fihima kathirun min an-nasi as-sihhatu wal-faragh. Two great blessings most people are cheated out of: their free time. And I just had a senior moment in English. I said in Arabic, as-sihhat, their good health, and their free time. So your free time in Ramadan, don't be cheated out of it, brothers and sisters. Fill it with the remembrance of Allah. The best remembrance is the Quran. But in general, this, as one of the Salaf mentioned, and we'll stop here, tasbihatun wahidatun fi Ramadan ka alfi tasbihatin fi ma siwah. That saying subhanallah one time in Ramadan is like saying subhanallah 1,000 times outside of Ramadan. And as the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dhakirullahi fi Ramadan maghfurun lah. One who remembers Allah abundantly in Ramadan, their sins will be forgiven. So take advantage of this opportunity, brothers and sisters. May Allah ta'ala bless all of you, and bless Tariq Masjid and his team for undertaking this wonderful, wonderful work of Celebrate Mercy and their various activities, which he outlined earlier, including webinars such as this. May Allah bless them and bless all of you. This is Imam Zayd Shakir. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Let me turn on my video real quick. Assalamu alaikum, everyone, and thank you to our dear Imam Zaid Sheikh of Mashallah. I remember I was telling Sister Noor Khan, a good friend of mine, about, you know, when Imam Zaid Sheikh confirmed for the webinar, she said, Mashallah, you have a mountain, you know, joining this webinar today. And I said that, you know, Imam Zaid Sheikh is like the Mount Uhud of America. You know, we love Mount Uhud and Mount Uhud loves us, you know. So we were honored to have Imam Zaid join us today. And alhamdulillah, we have two great teachers joining us coming up. One of the things I wanted to ask everyone, kind of a fun activity real quick, is in our past webinars, we've had groups of people that have come together and watched sometimes as families, but sometimes even as bigger groups. So I wanted everyone to type in the chat room. There is a chat window that some of you have been using. I can see that some people are using the chat room now. And just type how many people that you are watching this webinar with. Are you watching with your family, with a group, with your spouse, maybe with at your local masjid? Let us know how many people you're watching with, and also where you're joining us from as well. Let us know, inshallah. And another thing I wanted to mention is that this webinar is actually pretty costly to put together. Whenever you want to use a big service like Zoom and get a large number of people to join, it is costly. There are costs associated with it. And just putting this together. So we are very grateful to a couple of organizations and companies that have sponsored this webinar and helped us with some of the expenses. And one of those is the Amana Mutual Fund, where my good friend Amjad Qadri, based in Chicago, works. And he's actually a manager there. And I wanted to invite Amjad Qadri to just spend 1 minute here talking about the Amana Fund, Amana Mutual Fund, and explaining that to us. And we're very grateful to them for having sponsored this webinar. Let me just pull up your slides really quickly here.
While you do that, thank you very much, Tariq. I've been watching since the beginning, and I realized that you guys have actually made the webinar technology grow, because your meetings were so big originally that some of the original services could not even handle the amount of crowd that you had that I recall from the beginning, mashallah.
Thank you. So here we go. I am now showing your slides.
Thank you very much. It's great to join here tonight. It's wonderful to have our wonderful teachers with us, my personal teachers, a majority of them. And it's a pleasure to see this important call with Ramadan resolutions. Some of the resolutions that some of your participants will probably be making tonight is either to perform Hajj, to save enough money to care for one's family in case of emergencies, for some great spiritual needs, some religious needs, or education for the children. In all of these things, inshallah, we'll be able to help. We're in a position to do it. One of the slides that hopefully we'll be seeing here shortly is our 30-year anniversary slide. Alhamdulillah, we are now on our 31st year of doing Islamic investing in North America, actually in the world. We're one of the oldest and largest companies to do it. And so we are clearly positioned in a place to help everyone to do that. On the next slide, the one with the 30 years on there, you'll see our contact information and our website, relatively easy, amanafunds.com. Feel free to contact us. Again, my name is Amjad Qadri. I don't want to take up much of the time. I want everyone to be able to go back to making Ramadan resolutions, part of which will probably be zakat and financial, and we're here to help as much as we can. The first slide was on our Sukuk Fund, and that's for a lot of our community that's getting older or that wants to save, have capital preservations. Jazakallahu khairan. Again, great program, Tariq. Been watching since the beginning. You're doing a wonderful job. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much to Amjad Qadri. Thank you so much for being a sponsor, the Amana Funds being a sponsor of this webinar and helping us with some of the costs as well. And we are going to go ahead and move forward to our next speaker, and that is Sister Dalia Mujahid. Many of you all know Dalia. She needs really no introduction, but she is the Director of Research at ISPU. And I'm sure you all have heard about their recent poll that you can check out on their website. Dalia, if you don't mind mentioning when you come on, at some point during your talk, mention the website for ISPU. That would be great so that people can see the new poll on the American Muslim community. So I will now go ahead and hand this off to Ustada Dalia to start with the Ramadan resolution talk.
Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah, wa salatu wassalamu ala al-mursaleen. I want to spend the short amount of time that I have with all of you today talking about two broad themes. One is, how should we think about our fast? What is our fast supposed to teach us? And what is the mechanism of attaining that learning? And then the second thing is taking it very practical, with some suggestions on how we can deepen and make our fast more meaningful, more impactful to our lives this year, inshallah. So I start by thinking about our entire purpose, our purpose for being here on this earth, our purpose for creation. And it is in the attainment and in the realization of ubudiyyah, of the true understanding of tawheed. It is in truly making Allah our only deity in our lives. And Allah has given us tools to attain this goal. These are really the pillars of Islam. If you think about the concept of a pillar, we talk about the pillars of Islam. If you've ever seen a building with pillars, what pillars do is they hold something up. They are a means. They don't simply stand there with nothing on top. They are holding something up. They are the foundation of something. And that something is the realization of Tawheed, is truly centering Allah in our lives. And each one of the pillars of Islam, starting with the Shahada, which is at least to acknowledge, to bear witness, in fact, of the oneness of Allah and of the prophecy of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Each one of the pillars in a different way enables this concept of Tawheed, of putting Allah at the center, of making Allah our only deity, of truly and in every way removing false idols from our hearts and from our minds, starting with our impulses, starting with our ego. And so when you think about the way that we are told to fast, the way that the Quran speaks about fasting, and Dr. Mattson mentioned the ayah. It is in Surah Al-Baqarah 183, and I'll just read the translation. O you who have attained faith, fasting is ordained for you as it was ordained for those before you, so that you might remain conscious of God. And then the word in Arabic is tattaqu, taqwa, so that you might attain taqwa. Taqwa comes from a root that means to shield. It's to shield yourself against evil. Another, you know, understanding of the word is to be conscious of God, to protect yourself against disobedience. And as we think about how fasting helps us attain taqwa, I think that this will help us really get the most out of the fast. I'll explain it by maybe using an example or an analogy. When you are in a city and you look up at the sky, you can hardly see any stars. There's light pollution. There's distraction. Your eyes are not able to see the beauty of the stars because there's too many things around taking away from that. But if you've ever gone stargazing in the middle of the desert, where there is no lights, there are no lights for miles around, you know how unbelievably gorgeous that night sky is, filled with stars, almost stars upon stars, stars on top of stars. And you see so much more. Now, those stars were always there, but we were distracted from them. We were blinded by our distractions from seeing them. And in the same way, fasting takes away that pollution. In the same way that we, when we're in the middle of the desert and the light pollution is gone, we can see so much more. Our vision is cleared. In the same way, when we have easy to access material comforts, we don't dig deeper. We are distracted by these comforts from seeing more and seeing further. So one thing that fasting helps us to do, and in so doing helps us attain taqwa, is it increases our spiritual sensitivity. And it does that by taking away the easy fixes that we all go to. For me, it's definitely coffee, right? If I'm bored or anxious or whatever, coffee is like my go-to thing. When I'm fasting, that's not available. And so I have to ask myself, where do I go for sanctuary? Is it something material, or do I go to a place that is deeper, a sanctuary of the soul with Allah? Fasting forces those questions and forces that mechanism by which, by being deprived of our easy fixes, we are able to attain, we are able to really reach higher and deeper understandings. So that's the first thing, is it can sensitize us, just like our eyes are sensitized when light pollution is gone. Another way that that fasting does that for us is it really, it puts us in a mood where, or in a state where our response time is increased. And it's a very simple thing. The space between, or the time between a stimulus and our response is where free will lives. And the longer that space is, the larger that space is, the more we are reflective and thoughtful between a stimulus and a response, the more we can truly be free rather than just obeying our impulses. Fasting, just in a biological sense, actually slows down your reactivity, your reaction time. It forces you, really almost whether you like it or not, to respond slower, to think more before you respond to things. And that state can then, once you experience that, it can become more of a part of who you are, more of a habit of taking that time before responding, before answering, rather than, you know, our normal lives where we tend to be very reactive, very, very impulsive in the way we respond to things. And then the third way, and this is often what we hear about, but it really is something I think we don't think about enough, is the experiential learning of hunger and thirst. Most of us, if we have an internet connection and are watching this webinar, for the most part, are not going hungry. You know, we are probably comfortable, you know, relatively in our lives. And it becomes very difficult sometimes to have true empathy and compassion with those who go hungry all year. And that experiential learning going through Ramadan, especially in these very long days of summer, can help us connect with our fellow human beings, not as simply patrons or as people who are giving charity, but as equals. And that's really how Islam sets it up. We are a community of equals. One has been given the responsibility to purify their wealth, and one has been given the right to receive zakah if they are eligible. And no, neither one is superior to the other. It is a family of equals, simply with different responsibilities and duties according to the will of Allah. So a few practical suggestions for Ramadan. The first one is to start, if you aren't already, establishing a practice of dhikr. These are small, easy things to integrate into your day. Afkar al-sabah and afkar al-misa. So after you finish your fajr, just sit for 10, 15 minutes and do afkar al-sabah. Start your day with that protection on your heart. Start your day by polishing your heart. And make it a practice. If you have this goal of doing it every day for 30 days, it will inevitably become a habit that you can take into. It's a beautiful gift that you can build for yourself to continue throughout the year. The second thing is Quran. Now, many of us, this is such a beautiful display of our global family. I love these webinars for that reason. Many of us, Arabic is not our first language. Even for me, who grew up in an Arabic-speaking household, I'm not great at reading the Quran. This is something that I struggle with. And so I want to offer a way to engage with the Quran that can be done by anyone. And that is, in addition, you can listen to the Quran being recited, and you can read the translation. And you can choose a surah that you will study during Ramadan. And in addition to listening to Quran and as much as you're able reciting it, actually study and reflect and write your reflections about one specific surah. You can take one ayah each day and reflect on it. So you can, you know, commit to doing 30 ayahs in the month of Ramadan. Each day, spend 15 minutes writing your reflections on the meaning of this one ayah and what it means to you in your life. So commit to a more active engagement with the Quran. It is beautiful to recite the Quran and recite one juz a day. These are all things I'm absolutely encouraging, but I'm also encouraging you to engage actively and reflect actively on the Quran and what it means to you. And then I will end with two more things. The fourth thing is resolve yourself, make a resolution to forgive someone. Forgiveness, we think about Ramadan as a time to seek forgiveness, and it absolutely is. But it is also a wonderful opportunity to do what might be the hardest and most rewarding ibadah of all, which is to forgive someone else. And I say that based on the fact that Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, he was a man who, when asked for sadaqah, he gave all his wealth. he was a man that, you know, his worship was not paralleled with any of the Sahaba. He was the man that he's called As-Siddiq because he believed in the Prophet ﷺ and believed his story about Isra and Mi'raj, even when others were wondering, you know, what does this mean? And yet he was also the man who struggled with forgiving his relative who had spoken badly about Aisha, his daughter. And he had to have been, and he was reminded of the need and the importance of forgiveness by verses of the Quran. And this shows us that even Abu Bakr, alayhi radiallahu anhu, who was capable of all of these things, forgiveness was hard for him. Forgiveness was something he still had to be reminded of. So take it, make it a resolution that this year you will let go of one grudge that you've been holding. You will forgive one person that you have been holding a grudge against or have been angry with for the past year. And in this way, you can truly free your heart, probably like nothing else. And then finally, and I'll end with this, increase your charity, increase your sadaqah. This is something we're always encouraged to do, but this is a time where the Prophet ﷺ was no other time was he more generous. And there's really easy ways to do these things. Now there's online platforms. LaunchGood has one where you can set it up where it's taking a certain amount every day and donating it. But there's lots of other ways as well. Wherever you happen to be in the world, increase your sadaqah. And I'll just end by sharing ISPU's website. It's an organization that focuses on empowering the American Muslim community with the best research. And our website is ispu.org. And if you're interested in the poll on American Muslims, it's ispu.org/poll. And I can type it into the message bar. Thank you. Wassalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, and thank you to Dalia Mujahid for that beautiful talk and reminder. And again, I just want to remind everyone that we will be actually having some time for Q&A after our final talk by Dr. Omar Abdullah. Before Sheikh Omar begins, I just wanted to mention one last thing regarding some of the work. I talked about the fact that Celebrate Mercy, we do these programs like webinars and traveling classes that teach about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But you may recall that most recently we launched a campaign, and I'm going to skip ahead. We've done some campaigns that teach about the Prophet, peace be upon him, through our actions. And some of these campaigns focus on responding to evil with good. So when our three winners in North Carolina, Dia, Yusor, and Razan, were killed by a next-door neighbor, an Islamophobic next-door neighbor, we managed and organized this campaign that responded by feeding our neighbors across America. And it was a campaign that raised food for the hungry and homeless across America. And in the end, our goal was 100,000 meals. In the end, alhamdulillah, through LaunchGood and through the almost 300 canned food drives, we were able to collect almost 200,000 meals for the hungry and homeless across America. And most recently, I'm sure you heard of the campaign that we co-organized with Linda Sarsour to raise money from the Muslim community for the vandalized Jewish cemeteries. And the inspiration behind this was a beautiful story of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he stood up to show his respect for a Jewish funeral that passed by. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has actually mentioned this campaign recently in some speeches and also in an op-ed piece. And alhamdulillah, this campaign has gone way above its goal. with many donations actually coming from the Jewish community as well. The goal was $20,000. We hit that goal in 3 hours. And alhamdulillah, this is just one example of how we try to teach about the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, through our actions. And what I'm going to say now is that Dalia had a great transition to discuss the act of charity that we have to give in Ramadan. And the Prophet ﷺ was known to give a lot in the month of Ramadan. And I wanted to just plug something that Dalia mentioned real quick. Let me bring it up here. And it is Launch Good. And so I want you all to just open up the chat room real quick. And you're going to see a YouTube link for a 30-second video, because Launch Good is actually one of the sponsors that has helped us out covering some of the expenses of this webinar. So take 30 seconds and watch this video by Launch Good that you'll see in the chat room. It's just 30 seconds, but we would really like you to see that, to see it about the Ramadan challenge. Just click on the chat room and play the YouTube. Okay, so we hope you all were able to see the 30-second commercial about the Ramadan challenge. I literally signed up for this challenge just 2 days ago, where you can actually tell Launch Good that you want to give a certain amount of money every single day in Ramadan towards a good cause, towards a crowdfunding cause that Muslims are setting up around the world, actually. And so I want to encourage everyone, if you'd like to sign up for the Ramadan challenge, this is one resolution we can make, is to give some sort of sadaqah, even if it's small, every day. You can actually sign up at that link that you see on the screen right now, celebratemercy.com/challenge. I believe 5,500 people have already signed up to give every day in Ramadan, and you can actually automate it. So you don't even have to go in and think about which cause to give to. It can automatically every day choose a cause to, you know, swipe your credit card basically and give, you know, $5 or $2 or $10 or however much you want to give per day to a cause. So we want to encourage everyone to check out Ramadan, the Ramadan challenge, and you can go to, again, to celebratemercy.com/RC, the link you see there. And actually, every time you sign up through that link, celebratemercy.com/RC, Launch Good will actually be giving a donation to Celebrate Mercy as well. So it's benefiting, it's a really cool collaboration, alhamdulillah. So that said, I'd like to go on to our final speaker we have, Sheikh Omar Farooq Abdullah from Chicago. Many of you all know him again as one of the greatest scholars we have in the West today. We all love Dr. Omar, mashallah. And he will be speaking before we move on to a brief question and answer period with all of our teachers, inshallah. So Dr. Omar, we will turn on your webcam and mic now, and hopefully we'll be able to see you and hear you to start your talk, inshallah. Okay, Dr. Omar, I think we can hear you, but we can't see you yet, so.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. And we just gotta get your video on.
All right, I have my video on. Let me see, share screen, should I hit that?
No, not share screen. I think there's something
okay.
Start video there.
All right. So. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Do you want me to hit anything in particular?
Yeah, on the bottom left, it should have a button that says start video.
Okay, I hit that right now. Okay, it says we can't start your video because the host has stopped it.
Okay, let me see here.
Let me see if I can get someone here to help me. Just 1 minute.
Okay, sure.
Are you here for the rescue? Are they coming quickly? Come in for the rescue.
All right, so. I've got a helper here to help me.
Okay, awesome.
Okay. Can you see what you can do with this? Okay. Okay. Allahu Akbar.
It's not showing. It seems like your webcam's not turning on for some reason.
The web camera is turning on?
No, it's not. It doesn't seem to be is there anything blocking the webcam at all or no?
I don't think so, no. I'm sitting right in front of my computer.
Okay. if the camera doesn't turn on, we can just do audio. That's okay.
Okay. Would you like me just to begin?
Yeah, you can go ahead and start. That's fine.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam. First of all, it's a great honor to be here with you, Tariq, and to be with Dr. Mattson and Imam Zaid and Ustad Adalia Mujahid and all of you wonderful people around the world who are viewing this. The Prophet tells us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that on the first night of Ramadan, which here in Chicago may well be tomorrow, the moon should be very visible tomorrow, that God shackles down all of the satanic demons and all of the rebellious jinn, and he locks shut all the gates of the fire, and at the same time he opens up all the doors of paradise. So Ramadan is a very special time of the year, as we all know, and we feel different when the month comes in. As Dr. Mattson said very beautifully, Ramadan also always comes at just the right time, at the perfect time. And just as we get ourselves ready to fast, and perhaps we clean up our houses and decorate our houses and put out some lights because of this great occasion and this great festivity, so also the gardens of paradise, they decorate themselves for Ramadan. So this year, for example, the gardens of paradise are decorated with the decorations of the year 1438 of the Hijra. And this is to welcome you, because every night during this beautiful fast, there are people who are emancipated from the fire. Those of us who have deserved worse, but we're given better. and the doors of heaven are open for all of us. So God, enable us to go into this month with the greatest of hope and the greatest of celebration and joy, and to have great strength in that. And as Sidi Tariq mentioned in the very beginning, don't count the days, but make every day count. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have once said to his wonderful wife Aisha, keep knocking on heaven's door. And she asked him, how? And he said, by hunger, that is by fasting, by hunger and thirst. So when we are feeling those pains of hunger and we're feeling that thirst, you know that this is the sound of your knocking on heaven's door, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Good character begins with hunger. Good character begins with thirst. Good character begins with the stomach. We have to control our appetites in order to be the best human beings that we can be. And it is narrated also from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, everything has a door. That is, everything has a portal that is proper for you to enter it from, instead of coming through the window or the back door or something else. Everything has a door, and the door of worship is fasting. So this is a very special type of worship. And Imam Zayd emphasized that in what he said, that the reward of fasting has no analog. It cannot be spoken of in numerical terms. You can't say you're given 10 times the reward, or 70 times the reward, or 700 times. But fasting has this special relationship with God. And in many authentic hadith, the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that God says, "As-siyamu li wa ana ajzi bih." The fasting is mine. I own this. This is mine. In other words, it's not yours. And as Imam Zayd so beautifully pointed out, even when our other deeds will be taken from us as atonement for the wrongs that we've done and given to others, that according to great scholars like Sufyan ibn Uyayna, that will not happen in the case of the fast, because that belongs to God. And he will keep it for you, and he will give it back to you, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And one of the beautiful things that we read about in the traditions about fasting is when the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in an authentic transmission, لِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَانْ يَفْرَحُهُمَا. He says that the faster has two joys that he delights in, that he or she delights in. إِذَا أَفْطَرَ فَرِحْ, when he breaks his fast, he delights in joy. وَإِذَا لَقِيَ رَبَّهُ, and when he or she meets their Lord, then he delights in the joy of his fast. And one of the indications of this beautiful hadith, as our scholars have pointed out, is that in fasting, God has actually given us the promise of a good end, of a good death, the death of a believer who doesn't lose his or her faith. And he has also given us the tidings that we will meet with him in paradise. So the reward of fasting is beyond anything that we can imagine. And we ask God to enable us to enter into this fast in the best of spirit and to understand how great this act of worship is. The verb fasting in Arabic, sawm, which by the way is shared in all the prophetic languages of the Semitic peoples, they all use this word sawm or sawm or sawma in Syriac. And it means imsak, it means to stop doing something. It means also for something to stop. So we use fasting in ancient Arabic for the water to stop flowing or for the wind to stop blowing. But another meaning of this verb in its ancient context in the Arabic language is that sawm means also exaltation. It means irtifa, to be high. we said the Arabs would say Sam al Nahar. They don't mean that the day fasted. They mean that the sun reached the zenith, and it is at that highest point in the sky. It doesn't go any higher than that. And then also, when the sun is in that position, it's as if it were not moving. For a few hours, it's as if it's standing still in the middle of the sky, especially in the sunny deserts of countries like Arabia, places like Arabia. And so also the scholars have pointed out that this verb is perfect for fasting because of the fact that fasting is so elevated. It is the type of worship that brings all other types of worship to life. As our sister Ustadha Dalia said, you know, fasting removes from you the veils over your heart, just like going out into the desert removes that light pollution so that you can actually see the stars that were always there. And as she said, it also increases, you know, our spiritual sensitivity. So fasting is highly exalted. This is the act of worship that is unique among all other acts of worship. This is the one that brings our hearts to life. And of course, because we're also fasting in this incredible month where God facilitates the fast and he chains down the demonic beings and he closes the doors of hell and he opens the doors of paradise that has ornamented itself for us to receive us. So also, you know, this fasting renews all of our other types of worship. It is said that fasting is actually not an amal. It's not an act. It's not a deed. And that's because of the fact that Arabs understand by the nominal amal, act or deed, things that we perform. For example, we stand in prayer. We bow in prayer. We make prostration in prayer. We give money that can be counted. We go to pilgrimage and don the pilgrim's garb and so forth. But in fasting, the deed is not doing a deed. The deed is not eating, not drinking, not partaking of those other habits or appetites which are permissible at other times, but they're not during the day. And therefore also we want to fill Ramadan with other acts. And as Imam Zayd said so beautifully, you are given immense rewards for everything that you do in Ramadan. If you do a single voluntary good deed in Ramadan, it's as if you did an obligation, a religious obligation in some other month. And the rewards of obligations are much greater than the rewards that come to us, from voluntary acts. And when we do a farida in Ramadan, an obligatory act of worship, then it's as if we did 70. So this is also the month of activity. Your fasting is by not doing certain things, not eating and drinking and so forth, but you want to fill the month with good deeds. And we all find that it's much easier to do that in Ramadan than it is at any other time of the year. So God, give us the great joy of this month. God, enable us to set out on this month with earnestness, with sound intentions, that we're going to do tawbah, we're going to turn back to God, we're going to renew our covenant with the Quran, we're going to pray our prayers better. And again, by the very act of fasting, then you should be awake in your prayer. You should be able to be present in your prayer. So God, bless us with this month. Muslims all over the world are in celebration that in just a matter of hours, we will begin this great event, and we must ornament ourselves and ornament our hearts, just as the gardens of paradise are also ornamenting themselves, and pray for this ummah, pray for the believers. One of the greatest things of all in Ramadan is the worship of supplication. God says in the Quran, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord has said, call upon me, supplicate me, and I will respond to you. And so therefore, when you supplicate, you've got to have absolute certainty that your supplication will be answered. And especially in this month, pray for Syria, Pray for the refugees of Syria, the broken homes, the broken families. Pray for the Muslims of Iraq. Pray for the Muslims of Libya, of Egypt. Pray for Somalia. Pray for the Yemen. Pray for the Rohingya, our beloved brothers and sisters in Burma who are facing genocide. Pray for yourself. Pray for the family. Pray for our countries. Pray for the world. And remember that your prayer will be answered. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ad-du'a'u huwa al-ibadah. Supplication, it is what worship is all about. It's the real essence of worship. And he said, afdalu al-ibadati huwa ad-du'a, that the most excellent type of worship is du'a. And then in the famous hadith, ad-du'a'u mukhul ibadah, that supplication is the marrow of worship. It is the essence of worship. So make this a month of giving of yourself. Sakha'un nafs, overflowing generosity from yourself, and of getting our hearts sound. Islam is laws and rules, and we cannot have guidance. We cannot have ethics and morality without law and without rules. But those laws and rules of Islam, they're like a fence that encloses a garden. And what really counts is not so much the fence, it's very important, but what really counts is the garden. And the house, the beautiful house in that garden, and that's your heart. So bring your heart to life. All action comes out of the heart. Renew your covenant with God. Renew your love with the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and renew your acts of obedience and goodness, and avoid all wrong. And don't count the days, but make the days count. God bless you all. Pray for me, pray for us all, pray for our ummah, our wonderful communities in the United States and in Canada and in Mexico and in Europe and throughout the world. God bless you all and give you a beautiful Ramadan, Ramadan Kareem.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair to Dr. Omar. I know that we are over time, quite a bit over time, but we do want to have some questions for our dear teachers and scholars who have blessed us with this beautiful wisdom, beautiful knowledge, and these points of advice for us as we move into Ramadan, inshallah. And for those who can't stay any longer, we want to encourage you to please take the survey. You can see a link there, celebratemercy.com/survey. We would love your feedback on today's webinar. And there's also a donation link because we're still trying to recover some of the expenses for this webinar. So if you can take the survey, there's actually a part in the survey where you can make a donation as well to help us pay for the webinar's expenses. And again, thank you to Amana Funds and LaunchGood for helping out as sponsors as well. So one of the questions we have is, you know, there's actually a couple of questions that are similar in terms of like, should I make a goal of finishing the Quran in Arabic if I don't understand Arabic, or should I focus more on understanding the meaning of what I'm reading during Ramadan? So I think that's a common question, especially in the West, where many people may attend Tarawih, and you, of course, there's a barakah and blessing in that, but they don't understand the Arabic. So should someone prioritize the understanding of the Quran when they're strengthening their reading in the month, or focus on trying to complete the Quran? So I think we're now have all of the speakers on their webcams and microphones. So I will let any of you all who want to take a stab at that go ahead, inshallah. And just try to keep your answer brief so we can get to a couple of more questions also.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I would like to hear from others. I would say that if you don't understand Arabic, by all means, you should read the Quran in English and try to get through as much as you can. Before I learned Arabic, I actually did a khatam. And every year in English, Yusuf Ali has the 30th marked off in English. But if you can read it in Arabic, I think this is an opportunity to benefit your soul. And every ordinarily, as the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la taqul alif lam mim harf, walakin alif harf, lam harf, wa mim harf, wal hasanatu bi ashri amthaliha. Don't say that alif lam mim is a single letter. Rather, alif is an individual letter, lam is an individual letter, mim is an individual letter, and every good deed is multiplied 10 times over. So every letter ordinarily is 10 times, as Dr. Umar mentioned, in Ramadan, that multiplication is far greater. So if you're reading the Quran in Arabic and you're shoveling hasanat into your akhirah. And so the Salaf Imam, and I'll stop here, Imam, Israeli Imam, both Abu Hanifa and Imam Shafi'i would do 60 khatams of the Quran in Ramadan. That's two a day. And others would do less than that, but prodigious amounts of Quranic recitation. So you should do as much as you can in Arabic. You have the other 11 months to really ponder and study the Quran. Mm-hmm. And I think I appreciate others' opinion on that, but I would offer that. But if you don't know Arabic, by all means, read it in Spanish, read it in French and English to understand the meaning and to read as much of the message as you can during this blessed time. This is called Sharq al-Zaman. So normally we shouldn't read the Quran in more than in less than 3 days. It's discouraged, but there are special times when the rewards are multiplied, such as Ramadan or the first 10 days of the Hijjah or special places. Sharf al-Zaman was Sharf al-Makan, such as Mecca or Medina, where the deeds are multiplied. And so these are opportunities that might not return to us in our lifetime to just do immense good and benefit to our soul. Wallahu a'lam wal musta'an.
Can I respond to that?
Please do. I would invite you to respond.
I would just like to point out that our sister, Ustada Dalia, she did have a very good suggestion on this point. And just to repeat a little bit of what I understood from her, and of course she can add to that, is that if you're not good at reciting the Quran, today we have incredible recitations available. So you can recite with a reciter. And you have reciters like Imam al-Husari, who is one of the most perfect reciters ever. And, you know, so it's good for you to also recite with him, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Maybe that will help the person who's not a good reader to do it well, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala.
Thank you, Dr. Omar. Dr. Mattson, did you want to add to that at all? Okay. Okay, I can see you there. Okay, so another question was, Imam Zaid, you had mentioned the amount of reading that Imam Shafi'i and some of our great scholars had done in the past. So one person had a practical question like, what do I do? What are some tips on how I can continue the habits, the good worship that I start in Ramadan, or the increased worship? So, you know, we don't want to go into this conference mode, I guess, where like after a conference, you know, your good deeds kind of stop after 48 hours.
Give me 1 second. There's a semi-emergency I'm dealing with. Let me just,
oh, no problem.
Let me tell this person. I'll call them in a couple minutes.
No problem.
So I'm like, Luis, I'll call you in a couple minutes.
Okay. Does anyone else want to take that real quick? Dr. Mattson, maybe?
Wait, what's the... Sorry, can you, which question are we on now?
How do we continue like the increased worship that we take on Ramadan, the good deeds, mm-hmm. how do we make that more consistent going forward after Ramadan?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Ramadan is a special month, right? So we're not going to, very few people could keep Ramadan all year long. I mean, we have to be realistic in our expectations and also, you know, understand that there are blessings of this month that are not other times in the year. So we need to be merciful with ourselves and realistic. At the same time, I think, you know, different people have different things that they're struggling with. You know, some people are struggling with their time. Some people are struggling doing their prayers on time. Other people find it difficult to turn to the Quran, to do a little reading from the Quran regularly. And it differs for different people. I think the most important thing is you've come to the end of the month and each person will find that they're that some aspect of this practice has really lifted them up, and it's something that they're not normally able to do very regularly. Focus on that thing in particular. So, for example, if it's making sure you wake up on time for Fajr and say all of your prayers in time, try to pick that one up for this year. Or if it is that you normally don't find yourself reading the Quran very much during the year, but you've made this part of your practice during Ramadan, try to focus on that. So it's going to be different for every person. Don't try to do too many things at once. It's better to take a good practice and slowly integrate it into your daily life so that it becomes a habit. Because if you do too much, you know, you can overwhelm yourself. And this is something that the Prophet Muhammad warned us against, you know, overwhelming ourselves with too much.
Did you want to add to that, Dr. Ahmad, at all?
I think one of the most important things is the misconception that people have about spirituality, that you get a spiritual high in Ramadan. And they think that's spirituality. And when that high is not there afterwards, then they feel that they're at a low. Spirituality doesn't really work that way. Spirituality is about your relationship with God. And it's not about the way you feel, whether you're ecstatic or you're not ecstatic. And the most important thing is that when we come out of Ramadan, we come out of it good. Not that, as Dr. Mattson says, that we're going to continue to do all those amazing things that we were taking off time for in Ramadan. That's not going to happen. You've got to get back to work. You've got to deal with your family. You've got dinner and you've got meals to prepare and so forth. But you want to be strong. You want to come out of Ramadan with this strength, and you want to keep that. And there is going to be a low that comes after coming out of this blessed month. This is one of the wisdoms of the Eid, that we have this great celebration after Ramadan to bring closure to the month, but also to celebrate at a time when many of us are actually very sad because of the fact that the month is now leaving us. So don't be deceived by your emotions, and don't try to gauge your own spirituality. Be upright, stand on your feet, do the best you can do, avoid doing wrongful things. Guard your eyes, guard your ears, guard your tongue, keep your heart pure, and God enable us to be better and to be transformed by this month in which we transform ourselves.
Jazakumallah khair. I just wanted to, I think we're going to go ahead and conclude because we have gone over time, and I think Imam Zaid might be talking to the brother who, unless you can come back to the webcam here in 5 seconds or so. Oh, there you are.
Good.
So I wanted to ask,
that's great.
Imam Zaid, I wanted to ask if you could conclude with a dua for us as we start Ramadan. Many of us may be starting tomorrow. So if you could conclude tonight's webinar with a dua for all of us. And I just want to mention also that this webinar has been recorded, so it will be shared with people who could not attend live. We will be posting that on the Facebook page, the event page, our email list. So please look out for that. We'll be posting that probably in the morning, inshallah, for those who missed it, inshallah. So thank you all again for joining. It was a great blessing to have our teachers with us tonight. And I want to encourage everyone to take that survey. And Imam Zaid, if you could conclude with the dua, it would be great, inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala sayyidil mursaleen, sayyidina wa habibina wa qurrati a'yunina muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. Allahumma ij'al jam'ana hadha jam'a marhuma, wa tafarqa min ba'dihi tafarqa ma'asuma, wa la tuja'a indana, wa la athina, wa la ma'ana shaqiyan, wa la mishruma. اللهم تقبل منا زدنا ولا تنقصنا اللهم بلغنا رمضان اللهم بلغنا جميعا رمضان اللهم بلغنا شهر رمضان يا الله يا الله يا الله we ask you that you bless us to attain to Ramadan and that you bless us to take advantage of the great opportunities for forgiveness that you have opened up for us in Ramadan, that you bless us to fast it with sincere faith anticipating a great reward, that you bless us to stand during the night at prayer during these great special nights of Ramadan. We pray that you bless us to attain to Laylatul Qadr, that great night of worship and devotion where you show the angels the full Adamic potential of the human being, where all over the world people are praying and people are reciting Quran and people are pouring their hearts out in supplication and invocation. Ya Allah, we pray that you bless us. We pray and ask that you bless us to attain to these great blessings, that you bless us to remember you abundantly during this special month, that you bless us to spend generously from how to the extent that we're capable of spending, Ya Allah, in imitation, following the way of the Blessed Prophet, who was described as the most generous of people and the most generous, the time he was especially generous being Ramadan. May we be blessed to follow in his illustrious footsteps, Ya Allah. We pray that those you make easy for us, that we are able to spend some days in isolation, just in the masjid, in the confines of the masjid during the days of Kaf, Ya Allah, remembering your name and reciting your scripture and praying, invoking you, Ya Allah, and supplicating unto you, Ya Allah. We pray that you bless us to take advantage of this opportunity. We pray that you bless us to be fitting representatives of your religion and fitting representatives of the last prophet to grace humanity. We pray that our collective light drowns out the darkness that has manifested itself in Manchester, England, and Baghdad, and Somalia, and all these places, in Pakistan, and other places where Muslims are murdered by lunatics, and then they're set up as representatives of your religion, that our light drowns out their darkness, that our positive energy drowns out their negative energy, that our devotion to you is a testimony to the word, to the truthfulness of your messenger and the truthfulness of the message that you have sent him with and the truthfulness of the Quran, Ya Allah. We pray that you purify our hearts, that you purify our intentions, that you bless us to lower our eyes and you bless us to silence our speech except that which contains great benefit, and that we focus on you, Ya Allah, that we focus our hearts and we focus our energy and we focus our intentions and we focus our concerns and everything is focused towards you during this great month, Ya Allah, and that the energy and the momentum that we build up during this month sustains us in the 11 that follow it, Ya Allah. We pray that you bless all of those who participated in this gathering, all of the blessed and learned people who were able to share with the participants and all of those who inquired and asked questions. You pray that the answers they received were satisfactory and edifying to their hearts and their spirits, Ya Allah. We pray that you bless us to carry this torch of truth that was lit by the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam forth into the world, and that we pass it on to those
who follow us, and they pass it on to generations yet unborn, and that we are able, Ya Allah, to gather around the fountain of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Jannah, that we're able to see his blessed countenance, Ya Allah, and that you bless us to gaze upon you in a way fitting your majesty and your incomparability, Ya Allah. Wujuhu yawma'idhan nadira ila rabbiha nadira, that we're amongst those nadirin, Ya Allah. We're amongst those nadirin, Ya Allah. We're amongst those nadirin, Ya Allah. In conclusion, we ask that you bless us to respond to the invitation of your Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he said, ta'arradu ila nafahati rahmati rabbikum, expose yourself to the gentle breezes of your Lord's mercy. And we know that those breezes are blowing in Ramadan in a way, in a fashion that they don't blow at any other time. That you bless us to expose ourselves to those breezes, Ya Allah, and that we enjoy the insight given to us by our great scholar Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali when he said, commenting on that prophetic expression, Inna lillahi nafahatu rahmati rahmatihi yusibu biha min yasha'u min ibadi faman asabathu sa'ida sa'adatan la yashqa ba'daha abada.
Amen, amen, amen.
Certainly Allah has breezes of his mercy that he touches whomsoever he pleases amongst his servants. And one touched by one of those breezes experiences joy so deep and profound that he or she is never saddened for the rest of eternity. May we be touched by those breezes in Ramadan, Ya Allah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifuna wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam al-fatiha.
Thank you again to all of our teachers. Thank you, Imam Zaid, for that beautiful dua. And we look forward to seeing you all on the next program. And we pray that you all have a blessed Ramadan, and remind you all to please take the survey. You can see the link there on the screen, celebratemercy.com/survey. Jazakumullah khair. Thank you all again. Thank you to our teachers. And we hope to see you again soon. Assalamu alaikum.